It says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, he says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up." And the Lord told me, as I was laying in bed last night, and I was asking God, I've been praying and studying and fasting, and saying, "God, what do you want to bring to this church body?" And He's gave me so much stuff that I can't get it all in at one time. You know, and there's an unwritten rule among traveling ministers that we preach for a minute per mile that we traveled. Well, I traveled about 400 miles to get here, so I'm going to preach for a while. There are some things that God is wanting to raise up in this church, and there are some things that He is tearing down today. There are things that need to be set in order in this body of Christ, and the pastor has no clue what I'm going to say here. He turned me loose on you, and I'm going to turn loose on you what the Lord gave me. In every church, God gives the pastor a vision. Now, the pastor's vision is what the church body is supposed to gather around and help the pastor with that vision. The vision of your pastor is revival for Belleville. That's his vision. Now, as a shepherd, the shepherd leads the flock. That means wherever the shepherd wants the sheep to go, the sheep are supposed to follow. But sometimes you got some sheep that want to go their own way, and they want to go over here, and I like the grass over here better, and they want to walk away from where the pastor's vision is. And it brings division in the church, and most of all, it brings in strife. It brings in unfruitful works of the Holy Spirit. It brings in things that God does not want brought in the church. The pastor has a pasture for the flock that is full of good food. You know, the devil is also a pastor in kind, and he will lead you to the dry and barren lands. He will lead you to the places you don't want to be. He'll lead you to the places of sadness and destruction. But Jesus Christ is the true shepherd who will lead you into good pasture. And the Lord Jesus has appointed your pastor to lead you to the place where you should eat. Every time the church door is open, the flock needs to come and feed. Not be off meeting somewhere else. Because there's one pastor over this church, and it's this man over here. When we have meetings in other places away from the church, sometimes it's like somebody will try to exalt themselves above and covet the office of the pastor. And they'll draw people after them, and then when they draw those people after him, it not only leads the sheep into another fold where they're not supposed to be, but it also waters down the work that the pastor is supposed to be doing. And that is bringing revival into Belleville. Now, I have been told by many people that I don't mince words. And I don't. These things should not be. When this church door is open, all of you need to be here. Not some of you. All of you need to be here. Because the pastor is trying to lead you into the place where you're not at yet. He'll lead you there, but you've got to follow. You see, there's two parts in church. Leaders, followers. But I find in many churches there's also two kinds of things going on. It's called sheep and goats. Now, the Lord has called him to be a leader of sheep, not a leader of goats. We're all supposed to be sheep. Now, God calls a sheep in the Bible, and sometimes, you know, we think, oh, praise God, I'm a sheep. Well, that's not a very complimentary title. Sheep are dumb. Sheep have a habit of getting in places they don't belong. Sheep have a habit of finding every hole in the fence and trying to get out. Sheep have a habit of getting in every briar and burr. You see, the shepherd stands a little taller. You know, you look at a shepherd. A shepherd can be 6 feet tall, and an average sheep is 26 to 30 inches tall. So they don't see much above the grass. They can't see very far. Sheep are nearsighted. They don't see very well. And so what happens when a sheep starts wandering away from the shepherd? Pretty soon they get lost. Thank God the shepherd can see and goes after the sheep. You know, this shepherd here spends a lot of his time going after his sheep. If the sheep would just keep his eyes on the shepherd, it'd make a lot easier for everybody. And God could spend more time building and moving in this church than he does going around having to gather the stray sheep up. What you see here this morning going on is church, the way it's supposed to be. Randy got healed. That's church. That's what God likes to do. He wants to heal His people if we'll just quit being rebellious little goats and let God be God and let Him do for us what He wants to do for us. Now I'm going to put the whip away for a while. Praise God. I'm going to go over here in Matthew. I don't have any notes. I don't preach from notes. I preach as the Holy Spirit gives me utterance. Over in Matthew 25, verse 31, talks about the coming judgment. There's nothing that scares me more than the thought of having to stand before Jesus and say, "Oh, Jesus, I'm so glad to see you. I've been working so hard for you." And He's going to say, "Who are you? Do I know you? Well, Lord, I cast out devils in your name. Lord, I preached in your name. I don't know you. Go away." I don't want to hear that. You know, it says in verse 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He shall sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one for another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, and put the goats on the left. Then shall the King say to them on His right hand, 'Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from you for the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me drink, and I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me, and I was sick, and you visited me. In prison, and you came unto me.' Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, 'Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee?' And the King shall answer and say unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me.' Then shall also them say on the left hand, 'Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink, and I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and you visited me not.' Then shall they also answer, saying, 'Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?' And He shall answer them and saying, 'Verily, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to the least of one of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.'" You see, the one thing that's going to make the difference between where you spend eternity is if you're on His right hand or if you're on His left hand. You say, "Lord, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior." But so many people compromise the Word of God. I spent yesterday reading through First Kings and Second Kings. And you know something? I could read these two books to you, but to sum up the chapter of First Kings, God would raise up a king, make him exalted among the people, and then at the end of it, the article about that king, it was says, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he incited the anger of the Lord, and was buried with his fathers. And then there'd be another king, and it says, and he did right in the sight of the Lord, and he died and was buried with his fathers. And then there'd be another one, and it says he did more evil in the sight of the Lord than all those kings before him, and he died and was buried with his fathers. You see, they all have one thing in common. They all die, we all die, and we're all going to be buried or cremated or whatever, unless the Lord comes and raptures us away first. But where it is after we die is going to be the big thing that we're concerned about. We can say, oh Lord God, I love you, but if you don't obey God, you're going to be on the left. You've got two lines. He's got the line on the left and the line on the right. Which line do you want to be on today? Which line do you want to be in? I want to be on the one at his right hand. I want to be the one that, where he says, come, ye blessed of my Father. But you see, we compromised. We went to church the other night in Kansas City, and the pastor talked about, just briefly, about compromise. And I hear that all the time. When I was reading in 1 Kings, sometimes I would see the word compromise there. And I'd read it again, and I didn't see it. And I was like, the Lord's saying, see, he compromised. King Solomon, he asked God, God, give me a heart to judge your people. And God said to him, because you did not ask for long life, or the life of your enemies, or for riches, but have asked for wisdom, I have given you that. Plus, I've given you this other. You see, when you'll seek God first with all your heart, you don't have to ask God to meet your needs. You don't have to ask God to give you riches. You don't have to ask God. You know, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But unless you're seeking, and I'm not talking about just going to Sunday school and putting your offering in the basket and looking at your watch, well, it's time to go home. And you know, see, I did that for many, many years. I went to church every weekend. And I did my 2 hours every week. And I did God a favor. I went to church. Oh, man, how many people here are coming to church every Sunday, looking at the clock, thinking, well, time to go eat, time to go watch a ball game. The line forms to the left. You see, we compromise the Word of God. And we say, God, why are there sick people in our church? Why don't we have a revival? Why do I go to church, God, and I come in and I worship and I, you know, I sing a few songs and I praise and I throw my quarter in the offering bucket and I come and do my part, Lord. Why don't you do your part? Why do I go to church every week and feel nothing? Why do I go to church and go home and I feel like nothing's any different when I came in? I'll tell you why. It's called compromise outside the church walls. God called Himself a holy people. And those of you here who are saved, God ain't satisfied with leaving you here just saved. He wants you to be a holy people. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, that's not an impossible task. Because if God commanded us to be holy, He would be an unjust God if He commanded us to do something that would be impossible for us to do. But it is possible for us to be a holy people because we have a holy God and He lives in us. And the last time I came up here, I came up with a message that just wasn't very well received. And I'm going to go back and repeat it because you need to hear it again. It's in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Not by you, not around you, not in the next door neighbor. In you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. That is the line on the left. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Not that which ye want to be, or ye will be. Ye are. You are called to be holy. God commands you to be holy. The only way you're going to be a holy man or woman of God is if you put compromise away from you. Well, God told me to do this, and I almost did it. You know, God called Saul to destroy, what was it, the Philistines? Destroy them off the face of the earth. Destroy them. Man, woman, child. Oh, that's sadistic. That's cruel. I'll save the women and children. That's not what God said. Because he almost did what God told him to do, God destroyed him. Because he almost had a heart for God, God destroyed him. Because he almost carried out what God told him to do, God destroyed him. And he raised up David, a little shepherd, a nobody. And God called that man a man after his own heart because he did what God told him to do. Now God knows that we are but dust, it says. He is aware of us. He is aware that we're but dust. But you know something? Dirt is always dirt. It never compromises. Dirt is always dirt. So, why can't we always be children of God and quit compromising with the devil? We think, well, you know, I'll pray when I feel like it. I'll obey God if it's convenient for me. If there's not something real good on TV tonight, I'll go to church. If there's not something else going on, I'll go to church. I see every place in the Old Testament where Israel was exalted, taken out of all their captivity, led into the land of milk and honey, and blessed their socks off. God blessed them exceedingly abundantly. And after a while, they forgot who the source of their blessing was. After a while, they started compromising a little here, a little there. They didn't just turn their back on God one day and just walk away from God. No, it came just a little here, a little there. Just a little. You see, if the devil told you to go to the 7-Eleven store and rob it, you're not going to do that, are you? Not dumb. But if the devil told you, well, why don't you call in sick today at work, you know, the fish are biting, and you know, it ain't very often the fish are really biting that good, and you haven't been fishing a long time, and days like this don't come along very often, and they can get along without me at work today. I'll just call in sick. Some people call in sick so many times they've got to call in dead. But it's compromise. You know, you're not going to compromise with God and get away with it. You may think you're going to get away with it. You go out here and drive down the highway, and the speed limit's 70 miles an hour, and everybody's passing you by so fast it about sucked the windshield out of your car, and so you're driving 80 miles an hour, and they're still passing you. And the Holy Spirit starts to convict you a little bit and say, you need to slow down to 70. Well, everybody else is doing it. Well, so what if everybody else is doing it? They're going to hell. Do you want to go with them? We need to be an example. You know, I got a sign on my back of my van that says, honest people don't speed. Does that mean that I don't want to speed? Does that mean I don't like to go fast? No, I'm telling you, I like to go fast. But I can't go fast. Because I'm a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to obey the laws of the land. Because it says in the Bible, honor the king, right? If you don't honor the king, you're dishonoring God. Do I like to pay income taxes? No, I don't like to pay them, but I have to pay them because I've got to honor the king. There's a lot of things I do that I don't want to do because I have to honor the king. Maybe I want to do a U-turn. Well, maybe a U-turn's illegal. Some places you can do U-turns. Some places you can't. But you can't compromise the Word of God. All through the Bible, all you do is read in the Old Testament about how Israel disobeyed God and went into captivity time after time after time after time. How many times do we have to read this Bible before we start to get it through our thick little heads that we cannot compromise with God? We have to obey Him. God's after people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. But there's something else He wants, and Pastor hit it right on the nose. He wants our obedience. Our extreme obedience. This is the time when the coming of Christ is so close. There is no more time for this nonsense that we do. Bickering with one another, backbiting one another, undermining one another, disobeying the speed limit, cheating on our taxes, cheating on our husband, cheating on our wife, stealing the boss's pens at work, bringing them home for the kids to play with. Folks, there's no more time for this crap. God is a holy God. We got to be holy people. We got to win this community. This is our assignment from God. God so much wants to bring revival here, but He can't bring it in an unholy place. There cannot be unholy things going on in this church. There can't be unholy things going on in your lives. We got to be holy 24/7. I mean, I've had some deep repentance to do lately. I thank God I hear from you and I follow you, but the Lord showed me my heart wasn't perfect toward Him. And I said, God, I repent. Well, that wasn't good enough. I had to keep repenting and keep repenting and keep repenting until I can't think of anything else to repent of. I spent 3 weeks by myself because my wife was ministering in another area. And I was belly aching to God. God, my wife belongs with me. I want my wife home. I'm all out of clean cereal bowls and coffee cups. God, I've got to have my wife home. And the Lord was telling her, no, you stay away until Jerry hears from God. Oh, I was so busy being miserable and feeling sorry for myself that I couldn't hear from God. Oh, God, I got bills to pay. Oh, God, I'm miserable without my wife. And He kept telling me, be quiet and just spend time with me. And I didn't want to do it. I was being a goat. I was being rebellious. I wasn't doing what God told me to do. Finally, when I thought the pit could get no blacker and no deeper, and I was miserable, and I was miserable beyond miserable, the Lord told me, rejoice! Yeah, right, Lord, rejoice. Okay, Lord, I rejoice. Jerry, you call that rejoice? Well, Lord, my coffee cups are all dirty, my cereal bowls are all... You know, He don't want to hear all that stuff. He wants you to obey Him. And finally, when I threw up my hands and I said, Lord, I rejoice. I understand it now. You know, the oppression leaves when you rejoice. You know, my oppression left me when I obeyed God. You see, I got in the deep, dark thing, you know, with, you know, the song that they sing on Hee-Haw, for those of you who are old enough to remember this. Hee-Haw, you know, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it were for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And I think, yeah. Instead of rejoicing, instead of obeying God, I was letting the devil very subtly lead me over here in the barren and dry ground. And I had got out of the will of God because I had compromised His Word for me. I knew, you know, that's the sad thing about it. It's one thing to be ignorant of God's Word and to not obey God out of ignorance. But when you know the Word of God, like I know the Word of God and was not obeying it, that's inexcusable. You see, revival comes when you turn to obedience. Revival comes to whole churches, whole communities and cities when we stop disobeying God and we come into a place of obedience to God, to where we put His will first and put our will out of the car. Our will wants to drive the car. What we need to do is just gently open the door and it says, you may exit now. It's always hard to face the fact that we compromise the Word of God. And yet, if we're doing stuff... Oh, Lord. I don't want to say this. When you're shacking up and going to church, that's not God. He can't bless it. Can't bless it. You understand? It's not won't bless it. Can't. God's a holy God. When you're out here drinking, God can't bless it. If you're out here cheating on your employer, we'll say you're supposed to work 8 to 5 and you decide to take a 2-hour lunch. What is the difference if you go up and stick a gun in your employer's gut and say, give me your money? You're stealing from him. Unholiness is unholiness. I don't care in what form it comes. If it's disobedience, it's sin. And if it's sin, it brings death. It brings death. It doesn't bring life. Don't let the devil think that you can keep on keeping on living in sin, compromising the Word of God, and live eternally in heaven. It ain't going to happen, people. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen today. It didn't happen to Israel. It didn't happen to Adam and Eve. All we've got to do is go back and look at the Bible and see what happened to everybody that sinned died. God is not going to make an exception for you. He's not going to make an exception for me. He's calling us to be a holy God. Put away this nonsense out of our life right now, today, and say, it ends here. Bring it to the altar and say, God, I lay my sins here. I have sinned. You know, we can sugarcoat it and say, God, I missed it. I missed it. Now, you sinned. Call it for what it is. Confess it to God for what it is. If it's lust, say, Lord, I lust it. He knows already. You're not hiding anything from God. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows every thought you have. You're not hiding anything from God. But what it does, it heals you, because confession is good. You know, it talks about in James 5:16. Let me run over there real quick. He says, confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another. This is what was going on here this morning. Why? That you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We got an effectual righteous man praying for us up in heaven. His name is Jesus. He intercedes for us every day. Do we want to waste His prayers? He's praying for us every day to turn from our sins and to live a holy life before Him without compromise. You can live without compromise. You can. Anybody here got a cruise control on your car? Okay. The speed limit 70, set it on 70. Push the button, drive, and forget it. Take your foot off the accelerator. You can drive 70 and not sin. God says in here, He's got His commandments in here. We can live by those commandments and sin not. We can. We really can. We can love God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and all our strength. And we can love our neighbor as ourselves. We can quit gossiping about one another. We can quit lying to one another. We can quit cheating on one another. We can quit undermining our pastor. We can come in agreement with the vision that He's given us for this church. We can do it. The big question is, will we do it? You see, we can, but there's a matter of will comes into it. Will we do what is right and holy in the sight of God? God gives us a choice, and God will never force your hand. He's the perfect gentleman. He'll let you have your own way, even if you go to hell for it. He loves you so much to give you a choice. He's asking you today, and I'm asking you today, will you follow God from this moment? Forget what you've done in the past. We've all messed up. We've all sinned. We've all missed it. We've all sinned. We've all brought dishonor to God. We've all dishonored the blood of Jesus. Every one of us have. The question is, will we say the buck stops here today? Will we come before God and say, God, I confess all this stuff. I leave it here at the altar. And I'm going out of here anew, and I'm going out of here a changed person, just like she did. She met Jesus. And she met Jesus. Look at the change in her. Look what it has done for her. Do we forget that Jesus did this for all of us? Every one of us. He died a hideous, horrible death for every one of us. What gratitude are we showing God? When I went to see that show called The Passion, I cried. I was tore up. And yet, probably that wasn't even the tip of the iceberg of what He really suffered for us. How quick we are to forget what He did for us. How quick we are to forget that He has redeemed us from hell. I don't want to go there. I don't want to see anybody go there. That's why I preach the Word. Let me ask each of you, do you appreciate what Jesus Christ did for you enough to go tell somebody that doesn't know Him? Well, I'm just not called to be a witness. Yes, you are. That's not my job. Yes, it is. I don't want to. You better. Or the line forms to the left. My wife tells me you can catch more flies with honey than you can vinegar. But sometimes you've got to use the vinegar to run the flies off to begin with. I don't even want the flies around. Why do I want to bring them? I'd rather run them off. I'd rather run the devil out of every one of you people. I'd rather see you hate the devil so much. You know the devil hates you so much. Angie, you know the devil hates you so much, he wrecked your life. Pain and wrecked your body with stiffness and pain. Oh, he loved you, didn't he? Just like he loves the rest of us. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your job. He wants to destroy your body. He wants to make you miserable. And after he has absolutely wrecked your life on this earth, he wants you to join him for lunch in hell. I'll tell you what, the devil made an absolute hell out of my life for 45 years. Except, you know, I was enjoying it. I committed adultery. I've been married 4 times, people. I ain't a bit proud of it. I've been married 4 times before I came to Jesus. I ruined the lives of 4 probably pretty good women. I realized one day, you know, I've been married 4 times. There's something that's in common to all 4 of these marriages. Only one thing, and it's me. So there may be a tiny, infinitely tiny, small chance I could have been part of the problem. I was in deep denial. No, it was their fault. I wasn't willing to admit I sinned. I wasn't willing to admit I was the fault. But I'm finally come to a place in my life that says, Lord, I'll take responsibility for my sin and I'll lay them at the cross and I'll go and sin no more. We can go and sin no more. Stop making excuses for when you missed it. It's disobedience. There is no excuse for disobedience. We are people of God. Yes, I realize there are some people here that are babies in Christ and haven't been around Him long enough to know much about Him. Okay, I understand that. But there's a lot of people here that have walked with Jesus for many more years than I have. And they're still missing it. They're still walking in rebellion to the Most High God. Not going to get away from it. Sin is sin is sin is sin. I don't care if you call it a rose or a daisy or I missed it or a compromise. It's sin and sin leads to death. And we don't want to go there. Revival is breaking out here, folks. God is wanting to revive the dead people here. Spiritually dead. We can say, well, I'm not spiritually dead, but if you're compromising with God, you're dead. But He's bringing life here today. Bringing life, offering it to every one of you without measure, eternal life. But you gotta quit compromising. Tonight I'm going to teach on how to walk in the authority of God. You know, I'm really glad I wasn't here yesterday when Angie got healed. Because God has healed thousands of people for me. And the Lord says if you'd have been there, they'd probably just have attributed it to your anointing. I think, I'm glad I wasn't here. Because I want you people to see that you can pray and see God move. I want you all to have the power to walk out and go among the sick and lay hands on them. You know, gifts of healing are not for the church. They're for the world out here, the unsaved, the unbelievers. The people in church are supposed to be well enough versed in this Bible to know how to stay well. Just as God healed her and then she came. You see, healing is a dinner bell. God rings a dinner bell, heals somebody. They come to God because they see Him for what He really is, good and merciful, quick to forgive, loving, tender-hearted. That's God. But God has a judgment side. And Lord help us if we keep compromising with God. and enter into that judgment. You know, the Bible says, judge yourself and you will not be judged. I judge myself. I suggest each of you judge yourself. I'm not going to accuse you. I don't need to. Each of you know intimately there is no such thing as a hidden sin. You don't have any hidden sins. You know them. God knows them. You know them. God says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So you know what to do. I know what to do. The question is, will we do it? Revival has indeed started in this church today. I've seen it. What we had going on up here, that's revival. That's church. It's just the tip of the iceberg, what God wants to do. All of us need to go out here and say, hey, come to church. I want to show you what God's doing here. Come meet Jesus. Go out. Bring somebody. Let God revive them. Let God revive you. Let God change your heart today. Let's go. Open your Bible to Mark chapter 16. Verse 15. We have a command from God, not a suggestion. Go ye into all the world. First of all, I want to ask you, what part of go ye don't you understand? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, I'll expand on that, he that believeth not shall be damned. I'm going to expand on that just real briefly. He that obeyeth not shall be damned. He that compromises. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That means that each and every one of you, if you stand here and say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm His disciple, then what are you waiting for? Go out and start finding some sick people and pray for them and lead them to the Lord. Stop compromising with God. That is a command unto you to do those things. That's a privilege to do those things. When you're born into a family, you have rights and you have privileges. When a little baby's born, all they do is fill diapers and burp and eat and sleep. And they have to be fed, and they feed, and they feed. They nurse off of mama, and they want to be fed. And it's all about them, all about them. The little baby cries, you run to him, you take care of him. It's all about that little baby. We need to get to the place where it's not all about us. My wife has told me sometimes, she says, well, Jerry, it's all about you. And I had to realize, yes, she's right. Sometimes it is. I had to repent. I've got a wonderful wife, and she said I could say so. You know, there needs to be a time when we grow up and we start taking our responsibilities as children of God. Take out the trash. Okay? That's one of the first things a little kid learns to do is take out the trash. And it's one of the first things that a little Christian should learn to do. Take out the trash. Get it out. Get rid of it. Start doing what is right in the Word of God. Start going out and telling other people about Jesus. Start cleaning your life up. You know, when you tell somebody you go to church and they don't see you being any different than they are, what's the first thing they're going to think? Why do I need to go to church? I don't see any reason to go to church. I don't see you any different than I am. That's why churches have empty seats. Is because we Christians have compromised the Word of God so much that the world can't tell the difference between them and us. We need to start being so different, so bold with the Word of God, so holy, that when somebody rushes by us at Walmart, they say, oh my God, I just got healed. Hey, don't laugh. That's the way it should be. This little girl over here, she hit the deck running. She's praying for people. She got healed. She knows she got something. She's got something to give. Have the rest of you forgot you've got something to give? I hit the deck running in 1993 when God healed me of cancer. I've been laying hands on the sick ever since, and I haven't quit. I have not forgotten from whence I came. But yet there's been so many times that I have compromised with the Word of God. To my fault. To my destruction. And I finally got enough sense to repent. And say, God, I will not compromise anymore. I drew a line in the road. I was walking up and down the dirt road there at David and Sandy's. And I stopped and I drew a line. I said, that's the line of compromise. I'm going over here on this side of this line. I will never go back over there again. No matter what it costs me, no matter who forsakes me, no matter who doesn't want anything to do with me, no matter who calls me crazy or whatever, I will not from this day compromise God's Word for anyone or any reason, because I want to be on that line that forms on the right. And I want to see all of you there on the right. I don't want to look over there and see you on the other side. Hey, Jerry, can I come over there? Too late. I saw a lot of confession of sins up here this morning. God touching hearts, making them whole, healing them. Many of you got clean here today. Stay clean. Go out of here today determined that you will not compromise. If you've compromised God, you know it. Come up and confess it to the Lord. And be clean and leave holy. Leave clean with God, with a clean slate here. You can do it. You must do it. Your eternal life depends on it. Thank you for purchasing teachings from Life Healing Ministries. We would like to also invite you to visit our website at www.lifehealingministries.org. And if this teaching has been a blessing to you, we would like to ask you to be a financial partner with Life Healing Ministries to help us to work together to take the gospel all over the world. You can reach us at area code 573-690-4367 anytime that you need prayer or counsel or any other thing that you need to contact us for. We're there for you. God bless you.